begun a new series on why, and we started last Sunday. And throughout the Bible, there are some questions and puzzling things that you and I, we all face and we have in store in our hearts. We accept as faith and we accept in faith, but there are still things that we still don't understand, and we can best try to understand with reasoning and through what the Bible tells us why things are as we see. Last Sunday, we saw the first opening, why number one, why God created. Now, before creation, there was a plan before creation ever happened. It wasn't just an accident. It wasn't just something that happened. No, God had a plan before the creation, and that was out of his compassion, out of his love. He saw the fallen nature, the sinful, rebellious people, and they are going to die because of their sins. And God, in his pity and his love, he decided to shower his grace upon those undeserved, unmerited sinners who will only die. So he said, all right, I cannot just let these people die in their sins. I will make a plan to save them. And that's where God decided and planned to give his son Jesus to us so that anyone who would place their trust and belief in Jesus, who would have Jesus in their heart, well, Jesus will come in to not only to liberate and free us from our sins and our destiny, but will make us an heir to God's kingdom, sons and daughters, everlasting to joyfully sing praises to God. And that was pre-planned before the creation. And that was why God created, to show this love to us. Now today we are in number two, why. As we open the Bible, Genesis 1:1, there is a great opening, and it is not a whisper, but it's a shout. We're going to look at this verse, the very first verse of the Bible. And before any commandments, before any promises, before even we were on the stage, even nothing was there, God declared the statement. The Bible opens with this bold and this very strong, single, thunderous sentence and shout. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, it doesn't explain. It's a declaration. And because it's a declaration, it bursts like a trumpet sound, and it just gives us the fact, the very fact that God has created the heavens and the earth. Now, to the believers, this Genesis 1:1 is a wonderful, majestic proclaim of God that, yes, God, you have strongly, confidently, and immovably created the everything, and thank you, God. We can accept that by faith. But to a skeptic, it feels like it's very abrupt and even unsettling because they just don't have anything to, you know, grasp anything. It's just a declaration. Nothing was there to explain anything. So we can arrive as we read the first opening Bible verse of Genesis 1:1. We can come with some reasoning. Okay, this is a declaration, and I believe, but there's some reasoning that I still can't understand. Number one, why at the very beginning of the Bible, why wouldn't God explain about himself first? I mean, logically, we're thinking logically. If God would explain who God is, then we can understand, or we can come and trust and believe. But instead of explanation or introduction himself, God declares. That's something that we need to puzzle and think about. Number two, why doesn't the Bible, at the very beginning of the book, where it is the beginning of everything, would not give us the proof for God's existence? I mean, think about it. If the Bible, we open it, and there's a bona fide proof that we cannot resist and that we cannot deny that there is God, at the very beginning of the Bible, then wouldn't that help many, many people to believe? But instead, the Bible at the very opening is a declaration. There's no proof of God's existence anywhere found, in fact, in the Bible. If the Bible is the most influential book of the history, I mean, it influenced many, many shaping of the civilization's morals and people's destiny, and why doesn't it begin with an introduction or an explanation who God is? This is God. This is why we should believe. This is why God exists. But instead, it gives that bold shout of declaration. This is what God did in the beginning. God's declaration, Genesis 1:1, a bold shout and exclamation. Why? Let me give you, illustrate with stories. Let's just imagine someone was in a bad car accident and this person was just brought into an emergency room. The person is bleeding, the heart rate is unstable, and the time is critical. And the doctor comes along to this patient. And before the doctor sees this, he will not say, okay, I'm the doctor of this hospital, let me give you my credentials, let me give you my medical background, where I studied, and what I'm going to do will help your condition. Doctors would not do that. Doctor who is in critical condition, seeing the patient, will say, all right, stop, I got you. And will begin immediately acting his emergency procedures. Genesis 1:1 is God stepping into the chaos and declaring this, I got this. You're in my good hands. Another story. Imagine you are walking in a museum. You're looking at many, many pictures, and standing in front of a massive and beautiful picture. This painting, colors are alive, the graphic and the detail is overwhelming, and then you are just overwhelmed with a sense of this awe of these emotions. And someone nearby asks you, do you know who painted this? Well, you don't begin with giving all the biography of the person who painted this, and you don't give out all the details how the brush stroke was used. No, he didn't do that. You would just simply say, look at the end where there's a signature. It's an art piece by Rembrandt, a masterpiece of Rembrandt's. The opening of the Bible, Genesis 1:1, is that signature. Instead of giving us the details or the explanations, it is the signature who've done it, who the artist is. It let us know that creation is God's work. Shout of declaration that who the creator is, and let us know who made it. We're going to look at two things, these two questions, and see why God started with this declaration that I have made the heavens and the earth. Question number one, going back to that question, why a shout of declaration instead of an explanation of who God is? Now, same analogy. Imagine you're in a sea, a violent, stormy sea, and you are drowning. You are trying to survive, you have swam best you can, but you're losing your strength, and you're just sinking moments before, and a rescuer comes along and tries to reach out to your hand. Now, the rescuer will not say, hey, my name is so-and-so, and I have this, certification of to rescue you, I have the credentials, I have abilities, and this is the procedure that I'm going to save you. No, he doesn't do that. With authority, with urgency, the rescuer will say, I'm here, grab my rope. Genesis 1:1 is, in that sense, that declaration with authority. God coming along and said, hey, I'm here, this is what I have made. So we're going to get three things, why this is declaration. Number one, Genesis 1:1 tells us the weight of divine majesty. Why not a detailed explanation? An explanation will treat God as an object to think about. All right, that explained, that is explained. Okay, let me think about this. If there was an explanation, it's an object of analyzing. Okay, let me think about this. Is this right or this is wrong? Like a formula to be solved or a specimen to be examined. A declaration reveals God as a sovereign to be encountered. Explanation. If God was to open the Bible and give an explanation of what God did, and this is why I created you and me and all the universe, then we'll look back and say, all right, is this that right? Is this something that we need to believe, and this is something that we need to adhere to? But instead, God declared so that he can encounter, you and I can encounter God. God does not begin with an argument, but he begins with an action. He tells us what he did. He let us know what he did, and by action he reveals his works. Creation is not God's introduction, but God's signature. This is my work. The psalmist declares this: the heavens declare the glory of God, and God let his work speak before the words are explained. Number two, why declared? The declaration is the gateway of faith. The Bible is not a science book or a philosophy manual. It's a story of a relationship. God begins his relationship with us, and therefore, it approaches us with a declaration. This is what I did. This is what I have done. Hebrews 11:6 tells us this: anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Faith is not blind, but it must begin somewhere. And it begins in Genesis 1:1. But God declaring what he had done, what works, what actions he have performed, leaves us to accept and believe or to refuse and deny. It's a beginning point, the threshold of trust, the gateway to faith. And thirdly, why declaration? The context of relationship. Genesis 1:1 is not the end of God's self-revelation, but it is the foundation. It is the beginning foundation where we can know God and approach God. As the scripture unfolds in the later pages, we learn that God's holiness in the law, we hear God's heart in his psalms, we see his compassion in the prophets, and we see God's blood and flesh, his love through his son Jesus Christ. John 1 echoes Genesis 1 when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Creator steps into humanity, steps into our history, and let us know what he has done. And that's why God has declared instead of explained. Second question, why not? Why not begin with a logical proof that there is God so that we can believe and accept his existence? Now, from our modern perspective, that sounds very logical and efficient, giving us the evidence first so that we will believe. But in God's wisdom, he did not do that. In fact, for profound reasons, he have done to show the works of God. Number one, why? The best proof is the works. Now, you and I, we don't doubt these historical figures like 이순신 장군 or 세종대왕 or Julius Caesar or Abraham Lincoln. We know that by fact that they have existed, even though we haven't seen them. Is there anyone who has seen or met them before? No, we have not. We have not seen or met these historical figures, but because of their impact, the remaining impact, we believe. We believe through their words, through their writings, through their artifacts, monuments, and the consequences of works, and the impact that surround us. We know that these people existed. The same way, Scripture treats God's existence as a given because the creation itself is the evidence of God. There's no need to give proof, evidence of God, because the creation itself is the existence of God. Romans 1:12, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made." Through the creation, the stars and galaxies, moon and star, sun, all the nature that surrounds us, all they are the proof, evidence that there is a creator. Why? You will not walk into this magnificent building and say, "Hey, is there any builder in here?" I mean, we don't doubt any building came to be. We know there's a structure, there's a organ, something that a builder, a plan that was in store for this building to come. And the same is true, the universe. The order, there's no chaos in the universe. It sets every day, and we can expect next year the sun will still be there, hopefully. Yes, God is God of order, and He has created everything as a proof. Asking for proof of God and seeing the universe and the nature is like asking for a designer, a owner, a builder of a structure. Yes, we do have God as our creator proof. Number two, archaeology and history as our witness. When Genesis 1:1 revealed by faith, it gives us this faith is never disconnected by history. We know God not only through the Bible, but archaeology tells us, history tells us, all the proofs that God has worked in and through the history. Let me give you a couple just examples. Old Testament. In Old Testament, the Tell Dan Steele confirms the dynasty of King David. We know King David existed and through the Bible, but there's a proof, archaeological proof, that King David was a historical figure. Sennacherib's prism matches the biblical account of Jerusalem's siege. We know Jerusalem was under siege by other empire. The Cyrus cylinder confirms the decree, allowing the Jews to return. Cyrus decreed, and there is an evidence, archaeological artifact, that he has decreed the Jews to return. From New Testament, we have Pilate's stone confirming the Pontius Pilate, who decreed Jesus. The pool of Siloam was found exactly where John ascribed to be, exact location where John said it would be. The ciphers Ossuary bears the name of high priest who judged Jesus. Jesus was judged three times, and one of them was high priest, and we have an ossuary that tells archaeological fact that Jesus was condemned. So God leaves us fingerprints throughout history, but He does not force us to believe. He shows us, and He invites us to trust Him. Finally, number three. Why? God just showed us. Because of faith is the first button. Oh, you know, when you put on your shirt, if you put it in the wrong, starting with wrong button, it'll all have wrong positions. Miss it, and you have nothing. Genesis 1:1 is the first button of worldview meaning, and purpose. God created the heavens and the earth, and we believe so. And because we believe so, all the rest of the Bible, the miracles of the Bible, are not impossible. The redemption is not foolish. The resurrection is not a fantasy. We know because God, who can build with his words the galaxies, he is more than able to part a sea. He is able to forgive our sins. He can come into our life and give us new life. He can forgive and he can raise the dead. And all these things in the Bible we can believe because he has been, you know, built out of nothing universe and let us know that he did it. So we have here the very beginning opening of the Bible. We don't start. God has not started this Genesis 1:1 with a debate. No, he began with a purpose. I have created. I have created you. Why? I have a purpose. Before time began, before there was a star ever existed, even before we have the first breath in our lungs, God already had you and me in his mind. Genesis 1:1 tells us God is the author, and we're not an accident on the page. So we're going to ask you this, not a theological question, but a personal question. Do you believe that God of stars is also God of your story? I bless you and challenge today with this creation faith. Creation faith looks at the world and see not chaos, but craftsmanship. Not an accident, but an intention. Not distance, but invitation. And that's where we have Genesis 1:1 declaring to us, I love you, I made you for a purpose, that you come along in my plan for my glory, participating for my kingdom. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful Sunday. We thank you, Lord, that we can come and think these things. We have already accepted you, your creation, your declaration that you are the maker and owner of the universe. But we have questions. We still don't know and understand. Help us to come to know you more by realizing the best is given to us. The ways that you declare to us who you are and what you have done so that we may know you and believe you. Help us to draw near to you. In Jesus' name I prayed. Amen.